Good morning. June 17th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's themes include lower barrier overdose response and a Washington State report linking safer smoking supplies with decreased injecting. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. In news coverage, the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute at the University of Washington highlights safer smoking supplies in Washington State, focusing on use, engagement, and an association with decreased injecting. That is one to watch for programs thinking about how smoking supply access may affect injection-related risk. Filter also looks at backlash against harm reduction in San Francisco in a piece titled, "It's Authoritarian." A related policy signal comes from Arizona, where Filter reports that voters set a fentanyl-enhanced penalty threshold at just 9 grams. At the national level, The Hill reports that the FDA has approved a third over-the-counter opioid overdose nasal spray called Revive. And in a separate national item, an Associated Press-hosted press release says Clyexa and OpiSafe are announcing a strategic partnership to deliver an AI-powered opioid stewardship and behavioral health platform. From the Social Pulse, one lived experience post from Maya Salovitz on Blue Sky argues that one of the biggest mistakes in drug policy is failing to accept substitution. The post points back to the period when pill mill crackdowns were followed by overdose deaths, rising beyond levels seen when prescribing had been increasing. A couple of innovation-oriented posts also stood out. Help is Hope Found on X says its AI tool connects people in California's Central Valley to nearby naloxone, harm reduction supplies, and peer-led support. Bioanalysis Zone on X points to an interview with Bridget Cruz about detection methods for xylazine and medetomidine in illicit drug adulterants. There was also an example of opposition messaging. Anthony Cook on X criticized harm reduction efforts in Vancouver's downtown East Side, arguing that a broader four-pillar approach had been reduced in practice to harm reduction alone. Turning to research, one new review in Policy, Politics, and Nursing Practice is titled Big Bill, Bigger Consequences: One Big Beautiful Bill Act and Opioid Use Disorder Treatment. The title signals a critical review of how that act intersects with OUD treatment. Another study, from the Naloxone Prospective Outcome Research Study, examines overdose reversal through peer intervention and focuses on overdose response by people who use opioids in the UK and Sweden. That adds more evidence around peer-led response as a practical part of overdose prevention. A third paper in Pain Management describes the development and implementation of a multidisciplinary care model for patients on long-term opioid treatment who are also navigating the intersection of pain and opioid use disorder. On funding, three current opportunities are open now. The Health Resources and Services Administration has two Rural Communities Opioid Response Program grants, R-Corp Impact and R-Corp Planning, and both deadlines are July 8, 2026. If those fit your work, that deadline is coming up soon. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration also has Building Communities of Recovery open, with a deadline of July 16, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. And finally, two activism items. The Housing Not Handcuffs campaign is inviting people to join its effort against anti-homeless laws. Mobilize Recovery is also promoting an RSVP for a virtual workshop on tough conversations. If that workshop is relevant to your team or network, it may be worth reserving a spot now. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.